We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
On WGR.
All right, to get to the super clunky thing I was trying to say that we'll just dismiss forever and never talk about again. Opponents' points against the Sabres in the last 10 games. In the 10-game win streak, last year, opponents got 7 points against them because there were 7 overtime or shootout losses against the Sabres. In this 8-1-1 start, opponents have picked up 7
correct
available points of the 20 that they could get.
Yep.
So sometimes 8-1-1 isn't as good for you, but it's exactly the same to the teams you're playing against because this team has more regulation wins. Last night, of course, was an overtime win.
Yep. Columbus overtime win, Anaheim regulation win, and then Montreal, Florida, and last night were either overtime or shootout wins for Buffalo, so 1 point each for the loser.
8-1-1.
This hour on WGR brought to you by UBMD Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. For urgent orthopedic care, you can visit uborthocare.com. Sabres with another win, and you can react with us this morning at 803-0550. The Bills get back to work today. We're going to talk about that with Sal Capaccio, who is joining us on our Western Hotline. Sal's segment brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it is the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? Happy Wednesday, Sal. How you doing?
Good, guys. Happy Wednesday to you as well.
Before we get into Bill stuff, we were talking in the first hour a little bit about the whole Sam Darnold seeing ghosts, and the Jets are angry at ESPN for sharing that comment. What's your opinion on this whole story that, you know, blew out of the Monday night game?
Well, normally I love listening to you guys. I'm actually glad I didn't in this situation because I'm not biased on how you reacted. I don't know what either of your takes is.
You could use the rewind feature at radio.com and go back half hour to hear it.
And I will. So I don't know if I'm going to agree or disagree with you. My perspective as a sideline reporter, someone who's been down there, I don't think ESPN should have aired it. And I think the Jets have every right to be upset. Of course, they put themselves in that situation. I think where the Jets faulted originally was I don't think they should have let Darnold be mic'd up in this situation. The Monday night game, he just came back from mono. You're playing New England Patriots. You know, I know that they want the exposure, and I guess that they had already agreed to let him be mic'd up for the Browns game, but because he got sick and he didn't play, they had someone else mic'd up, so they went back to him. If I were the Jets, I would not have allowed Darnold, first of all. I think that's the mistake they made. But that said, ESPN, NFL Films really has the editorial content here and discretion. That's really who has this. It's not ESPN. They have to sign up, but it's someone from NFL Films who, I guess you'd look at it as, in a way, kind of a mediator that basically determines what goes over the air and what doesn't. And that should not have gone over the air. I think anybody who's been down there, anybody who understands how all this works, knows and should know and use better judgment to say that is a comment that should not go over the air. The reason the Jets are allowing Sam Darnold to be mic'd up is not to basically make him look bad. And I know that, I know that sounds weird to say sometimes, like, well, look bad, look good. There's going to be things that happen. I hear a lot of things on the sidelines between officials, coaches, players, whatever, people walking around. You just have to know what you can say and what you can't. And you know, you're down there. There's a big trust factor that goes into this, and I don't think that was a very good decision made by NFL Films and ESPN.
Yeah, I you know, if you go and rewind, I agreed with you. I wouldn't, if it was me, if I'm Gase, I'd turn down the request to mic up Darnold, and
correct.
I think they would have expected the quote filter to be used there, like that someone would say, even, you know, it's funny, you're so used to vanilla in these things, in the mic'd up segments, that even the earlier comment when he's talking to the offensive line about, I think, a protection call maybe, and he said, that's on me, I've got to be louder. I'm like, well, I was actually surprised they played that. Like, anything that looks critical, typically you don't hear, right? So I'm with you. I think That's why the Jets are upset. But the whole concept of a quarterback saying he's seeing ghosts, it's not like that's never happened before. I mean,
well, that's right. And it's not a new term in football.
Right.
It's a new term for us to hear it publicly because of that, because we never hear that. And, you know, you don't have coaches saying it at press conferences. You don't have quarterbacks saying it at press conferences. And you don't expect a national network to air the comment while he's on the sideline. It just, that's not the case. They don't air certain things about protections and schemes. You know, they're not in the huddle. They're not airing the play call necessarily. So, look, they always choose. There's a constant choosing of what goes on and what goes into those things all the time. So we know they have that discretion. I felt that they should not have done that. Now, maybe the person who aired it just didn't understand or didn't know, but you'd think that person in that position should understand and know. Now, look, most teams, the Bills included, they mic somebody up almost every game, if not every game. And then it goes on their website. You know, we watch it all the time. There's some really cool mic'd up stuff that the Bills do at their website. The team has editorial content, editorial control. So obviously, you know, they're going to be very, very, dialed in on exactly what they want. In this situation, you're allowing an outside entity to basically have that trust on what they're putting out there. And I think that's where this obviously gets a little bit murky. And at the end of the day, I agree that the Jets should be upset about this. And I blame them for putting it on Darnold in the first place. But I think the ultimate thing that went wrong here was that someone made a poor decision to allow that to be aired.
Sal with us here, 803-0550. If you have any questions, comments, you can still bring in your comments on the Sabres game last night. We're talking a little football with Sal, but we'll always take your calls on the Sabres as well.
The other part of the question, Sal, more of my side of it was, what does it mean for Darnold?
It's a great question, Jeremy, and I've been thinking about it too. You know, he's so young in his career, and he did look like he was just so lost out there that he was seeing ghosts, you know, seeing guys where they're not supposed to be, not seeing guys where they are, things like that. And, you know, I think he can recover from it. But here's what I've always thought about Sam Darnold. And when Darnold and Allen were drafted, it wasn't immediately after they were drafted. When Darnold and Allen, I think going into, I would say earlier this offseason, I made a comment, and I'm going to stick to it, which is I believe that Josh Allen has a very good organizational structure around him. And the question is, can he do the things, you know, be more accurate, the things that were always questioned about him to elevate his game. But he has a very good organizational structure around him to allow him to do that. And I questioned, and I still do now, I think Sam Darnold has all the talent in the world. I question if he has the organizational structure around him, though. There's such a mess there that he can flourish. And I still wonder about that. It's not just on Darnold to me. I think this is a Jets thing. I mean, this is an Adam Gase thing. And it does come into question of can he recover, but I think that part of that question, Jeremy, the answer is, does he have the right organizational structure and staff and situation around him to allow him to recover? And I think this is going to be interesting going forward.
Yeah. Well, I wonder what it says about him, about his ability to be it's weird. You know, anytime you get a look inside, you kind of make your own judgments about a person when in reality you're only making them because you got inside, right? He's probably like that every day, and now all of a sudden a lot of people kind of change what they think about Sam Darnold and say, well, boy, he's really not up to the task. It is a nightmare scenario for the team because as you mentioned, editorial content, controlling the message. The Jets lost control of a really big message there. A young quarterback struggling, saying he's seeing ghosts. It's now a question every time he struggles.
And I just think the Jets right now as a whole, as an organization, there's a big mess around them. Look, I mean, their owner isn't even around. He's in another country. His brother is running the team. They have a guy in Adam Gase who looks like he wants nothing to do with actually being a head coach. He just loves being a head coach. Yeah, you want to be a head coach in the NFL, and you want all the money that goes with it and the power that goes with it, but there's a lot of things about being a head coach in the NFL that you have to do, and it seems like he's disinterested. And I think Rex Ryan was in a lot of ways that way. I think that Freddie Kitchens is learning, not that he doesn't want to. I think there's so much that he did not understand that went into being a head coach, and that's a big reason why the Browns are suffering. And I don't think right now that Sam Darnold has a very good organizational situation around him to allow him to flourish and become who he should be, because I'm a Sam Darnold fan. I think that he's very good. I liked him a lot coming out of college. I thought he had a very good future, and I'm like, man, the Bills got to deal with this guy for the next 15 years. But right now, it's going the other way, and part of that is on Sam, I'm sure, and he's had some injuries, and he got sick and all that stuff. But I think that that organization has not been a good situation for him.
You could extend this, you know, when looking at the draft class, Sal, at the time of the draft, I'm not sure that you would have definitely said the Bills had the best situation of the organizations out there, but 2 years removed, it's the Bills and the Ravens in terms of organizational stability, whatever, the environment surrounding the young quarterback.
That's right.
It's Lamar and it's Josh Allen. I mean, I think Baker Mayfield still has a ton of talent and still is good, but sure, Freddie Kitchens, things aren't going well for them early on. We'll see if they can kind of pull it together.
Rosen, and how many offensive coordinators, head coaches are all these guys going through?
Exactly.
Right? I mean, and the one that isn't really is Josh Allen and Lamar, obviously, right? Yep. I think there was a change in they did have an offensive coordinator change, I think, over the last year or so, I think. But you get the point.
Yeah.
And you're right. And that Josh is really the only one, and Lamar a little bit here, that has really had continuity and stability, and that's meant a lot. And it's not just the continuity and stability, it is the people. And like I said, Adam Gase to me has never been someone to go into a situation like this. I never felt confident that he was going to be able to elevate Sam Darnold simply because of him being attached to Peyton Manning and having getting a head coaching job because of it.
Yeah. So I guess what the takeaway from all that is, whatever there is to get out of Josh Allen, and I think the Bills are going to get it. You know, it's not going to be a situation where he fails to reach whatever potential he was going to because he was kind of sabotaged from the start. Not that the other guys have been sabotaged, but maybe just not ideal surroundings for each.
No doubt about it. So, yeah, at the end of the day, you know, it just becomes more on top. More mess and bad situation for the Jets. It's become a lost season for the Jets. It really has. Think about all the feel goods they had with their draft class with Sam Darnold, their free agency with Sam Darnold. And, you know, here we are. And look, Bills fans aren't going to complain. I mean, the Jets are 1-5. The Bills are 5-1. It's great. But this has been a completely lost season for the Jets to this point.
Why is Josh Allen's fourth quarter stats, or why are his fourth quarter stats so good compared to the other three quarters?
I don't know. All I can tell you is the same pat answer that most people are going to say, which is he's a gamer, right? I mean, he's a gamer. When the chips are down, he makes decisions, he makes plays, and, you know, there's something to be said. People are asked, in fact, I think Brian Daboll was asked this yesterday as well, Monday, I mean, about can guys elevate their game?
The clutch gene. Yeah, right? He was asked if you believe there is such a thing as a clutch gene, and if there is, does Allen have it?
So this is the way I look at it, and this is the way I've always looked at it. And I look at it, and believe I'm not comparing Josh Allen to Derek Jeter or Tom Brady, but let's just leave Josh Allen out for a second. I believe there are people in sports. It's not when you have guys like Derek Jeter, for example, Tom Brady, the best of the best who perform great in clutch situations. I don't think they're elevating their game. I think that most people, I think they stay in the same level, whereas most people can't stay at that level, if that makes sense. I think they're always there. But the rest of the people around them, the people they're playing against, kind of their level goes down because of the pressure of the situation, thinking too much, trying to make a play. And I think Josh Allen, you know, for what he's done, he's who he is. And then in the fourth quarter, you know, I don't think he lets any of that stuff get to him. And maybe he is playing better. That's fine. But I think he's not letting any of that emotional stuff get to him, trying to press too hard to make a play. He's making the plays because he's kind of, that's who he is, and it's worked out for him. So I don't know. That's the best answer I can give because, man, they are wildly different in the fourth quarter than they are for the rest of the game.
Yeah, it's really odd. I mean, he's got 4 touchdowns, no picks. His best completion percentage of all the quarters is the fourth quarter. It's interesting to see. And you know, again, it's not like they're just padding stats in the fourth quarter. They've been trailing going into the fourth quarter in 3 of the 6 games so far this season, I think, and tied in one of the games too. So it's typically been a close game in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, there's something to be said. Josh's a smart guy, and you know, I think, you know, he goes through 3 quarters, he sees things. Brian Daboll's a smart guy. I think they have good brains and good minds that they can work together, and you know, they're seeing things through 3 quarters of play, and then, you know, when a play needs to be made, they can go and think, maybe they can think about a play that could work, and they could, whether they've been setting it up or not, they can say, well, you know, this is something that's open and wait till the fourth quarter to use it. Think about a guy that's been kind of working a certain situation, say, we're going to wait till the fourth quarter, or Josh can recall and, you know, over the last 3 quarters, say they brought these certain blitzes and now he's seeing it again. So I do think there's some of that too, you know, that we're not giving enough credit to how smart and the recall that these guys have and the situations they're putting themselves in the fourth quarter to be successful based on what they've seen or haven't seen through 3 quarters.
The deep ball issue you and I, we'd mentioned it became like a big thing on Monday's show. And Brian Daboll was asked about it as well. And we haven't talked to you since you were down there for the coordinator press conferences. What did he have to say about it?
Well, he said it's something they're working on, obviously. It's not like they're going to take one shot a game, but the shots are there. And it's not like they don't work on them in practice. They do. It's something they're working on. It's not necessarily anything mechanical, stuff like that. It's just it's timing. It's seeing everything the way it's supposed to be seen. Everything's going at a pretty fast pace, though. But they recognize it. And he basically acknowledged they recognize that, you know, those are balls that they want to hit. They should hit. And they just have not done it enough. But it is something they say that they talk about, they work on, and, you know, they go through at practice.
You'll be out there today, and one of the things that happens on Wednesday is the injury report, and we'll, you know, it's still early in the week for that, but how important is Matt Milano's availability on Sunday? We were talking to an Eagles guest yesterday, Sal, and he was saying their tight ends have been the best weapons in their passing game, and they have two options there, and Milano, among the things he does well, is drop in coverage.
Yeah, but listen, I mean, tight ends, Gesicki was okay. You know, he made some really fantastic catches. But where I saw, and you're right about that, Howard, I mean, he is very good at covering. And remember, they used him on Gronk last year in that Monday night game. He did a really good job. So if they want to put him on one of the tight ends, they can do that. But really, where I saw the Bills really miss Matt Milano was just running between the tackles. And him, his ability to diagnose and get to a spot, get to the gap. He's just such a sound football player when it comes to the run game and knowing, and he gets to places very quickly. And this week, they're going against an Eagles team here that, you know, they can run the ball fairly well. I mean, they're not world beaters running the football, but I think that they're going to watch that film and say, okay, you know, this is what we can do. We saw the Miami Dolphins kind of do that, and that's if Matt Milano, of course, is out, that they'll have more of an opportunity and success, and maybe that'll help them in their passing game, which is struggling because their receivers aren't catching the ball. Carson Wentz wasn't great on Sunday night throwing the ball, but I think that's the bigger issue that I saw from the loss of Matt Milano. But you're right. I mean, they need to be able to cover those guys, and it would really help if he was on the field for sure.
What about if he can't play Sunday, Sal? Now, would Corey Thompson did not play last week, right? So Maurice Alexander is out there. So it's a kind of a two-part question. If Milano's not available and Corey Thompson is that the best option? Or do they do what they did last week when basically Alexander became Milano and Lorenzo's on the field for like 96% of the snaps?
I think if Corey Thompson's available, you're going to see him play. He's a player they really rely on. I think they had a really good plan for him to be a backup guy coming in that he can really kind of fill different roles for them. So it wasn't just missing Matt Milano. You're right. Missing Corey Thompson as someone they can put on the field in lieu of that, I think, was also something that, you know, hurt them last week. So if they can have Corey Thompson available, if he can get there, and he hasn't played because of the ankle and that situation, you know, we'll see. So that would be nice if they could have him. Let's hope Matt Milano's available. He was doing some running last week on the side, jogging, stuff like that. He was questionable for the game. He wasn't ruled out immediately on Friday, which is good. We also know, though, that this team has slow played the hamstring injuries, right? We saw it with Devin Singletary. We've seen it with Taron Johnson, and we understand why. You know, you want to have these guys available. Those are soft tissue injuries that you don't want to have reoccurring and things like that. So, you know, we'll see how the week goes with Matt Milano. That it has, by this Sunday, it'll be 3 weeks. You know, they had the bye week, they had last week, and then this one. So you hope maybe he's ready by then. But, you know, we'll see. They definitely need Matt Milano. He was a big reason, I think, why the Dolphins were able to have success in the run game.
One of the other things, circling back to Daboll, Sal, one of the other things I want to ask you about, and we've talked about this too, is that the offense has been inconsistent. You know, it has its moments. It plays halves or maybe two and a half quarters, whatever. That also came up with the offensive coordinator on Monday. What are some of his thoughts on trying to get a little bit more consistent on that side of the ball?
Well, it starts with everything. It starts with everything. And Brian will always tell you, you know, from the play call, getting the play in, everybody getting lined up, pre-snap penalties, they had a few of those, right? I mean, you can't have all of that stuff happen. You know, one of those things, you get to third and one, you get a holding call. You know, you get a pre-snap penalty, pushes you from third and four to third and nine, you know, stuff like that. The consistency, everybody's got to be on the same page all the time. Know where you're supposed to be, who's supposed to be out there, him getting the play, and he'll take responsibility for some of that stuff. Earlier in the season, we had play clock situations. We haven't seen those come up. I think that's been better lately. So the consistency has to be, you know, you work on that. You have to do it every day, all the time, the same way, and know who's supposed to be on the field, what the snap count is, don't make a penalty, know exactly what your assignments are. And it all starts as soon as a play is done, A guy gets tackled. There's an incomplete pass. The next play starts. It's the next play doesn't start when you break the huddle. The next play doesn't start when you snap the ball. The next play starts as soon as the play is done. And all of that has to go into that, and that has to be the consistency part and where everybody has to be on the same page. And once you have to clean up the little things in there, which allow all the big things to just take care of themselves.
Sal, the Bills and Sabres are feeding off against each other here. What's going on, man? You are a longtime Western New Yorker, and
yes.
Do you know how to handle this whole winning stuff between the two teams?
That's amazing. I was at the game last night, and love the energy in the building after the first goal. You could feel it, and then the second goal, fans were really into it. I just feel like they're different than this. I think you guys do too. Different than last year's win streak. They look like they know what they're doing. They're coached. They don't panic in any situation. That's what I love the most. They never panic. It just seems like they just play their game, and at the end, they're right there and they're winning. They're winning a lot, obviously. And I tweeted something last night. I didn't expect it to get as much play as it has, but it has, and it's been there's been over 100 comments on it. And basically, my question was, what the hell was Phil Housley doing for 2 years? It comes down to. And this team has talent, and I think finally starting to show. They said that last night. I'm watching SportsCenter, and I think it was Bucci doing the highlights, and he says the Sabres have talent, and it's finally starting to show. That's what he said, and I thought, that's right. They do have talent on this team, and I don't think we realized maybe that they had this young talent because they haven't been showing that and have been allowed to show maybe over the last couple of years, and obviously they're more talent now maybe. They added some parts. But I think finally they have a coach, it seems like, who's allowing that to flourish.
Enjoy your Wednesday practice session covering thing there.
Okay, guys. Thanks.
All right, Sal. Thanks. Sal brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it is the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? Sean McDermott will speak with the media, and then Sal will be there for that, of course, and get you the latest on the injury report and whatever's going on down in Orchard Park today.
And when we get back, there's one other game in the league this week, in the NFL, that I think is a big one for the Bills and for Bills fans. You can watch the Bills-Eagles at 1, the late game, and what it means for the playoff picture, one game. I'll tell you what that is next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Michael, nice pass along the line. Wrist to line and hammers. What's going on? Sam Reinhart. That's where he makes his living, in front of the net. Number 23 ties the game at 2. Jokey Haru will send it back down for Eichel behind the net. In front, scores! Jeff Skinner! Yeah, they're hungry, all right. 45 seconds in, and for the first time tonight, the Sabres have the lead.
Some of the moments of the game last night in the Sabres' win over San Jose. The Firth Moments of the Game, brought to you by Firth. For all the moments in your life, go forth to Firth. Jack Eichel, 2 goals, 2 assists. He had the game winner in overtime. And you heard Skinner and Reinhardt's goals. The Sabres beating the Sharks 4-3. A 5-0 home start for the first time in 35 years. The Sabres are 8-1-1 and have the most points in the NHL through their first 10 games. Their next two opponents both played last night, both lost, and both are in losing streaks. The Rangers lost on home ice to Arizona, 3-2 in overtime. New York's dropped 5 in a row. Detroit lost on home ice to Vancouver, 5-2. The Red Wings have lost 5 in a row. The Sabres are in at the Garden, I should say, tomorrow night in Detroit on Friday. Bruins beat Toronto 4-2, and Florida doubled up Pittsburgh 4-2, among the other games last night. Couple of notes from the NFL. One, didn't mention this earlier. Dan Graziano from ESPN tweeted out yesterday, the Bills are on the hunt for a wide receiver.
All right.
Maybe Oakland looking at one as well, and maybe New Orleans. I don't think this is his tweet. I don't think Green availability hinges on anyone else's deal. It's up to whether since he wants to deal him. So far, they have said they don't. There was a receiver who was traded yesterday. Emmanuel Sanders went from Denver to San Francisco.
So who else is available?
Well, two of the names moved, but Green is the next name that's been bandied about. in terms of other receivers, that's it. I mean, the Diggs thing, I don't know that really ever.
They're a contender.
Was legit.
Yeah, you're trying to find a team that's bad,
right,
and would trade away a player. Miami probably would. Do you want Devontae Parker or Preston Williams?
Actually, Parker's name was one name I wanted maybe Lacanfora. Somebody brought up Parker's name in the last couple days as a possibility.
I wonder about the Jets. They're 1-6.
Robbie Anderson. I saw Robbie Anderson's name mentioned. Thank you. This is refreshing my memory. I saw Robbie Anderson's name mentioned because of the fact that they're 1-5. But whatever. The Jets are out of it. Would they be willing to move on from him?
Yeah.
World Series last night. Game one goes to the Nationals. They beat Houston 5-4. And the NBA opened their season yesterday. The Raptors got championship rings the size of the province of Ontario and hung their banner up and went out and beat the New Orleans Pelicans. In the Battle of L.A., Kawhi Leonard made his Clippers debut, had 30 points, and the Clippers beat the Lakers. Those are your headlines. The next update coming up at 8 o'clock. It is a victorious Sabres morning, 803-0550. You can give us your thoughts on last night's win over the Sharks. A lot of good things to bring up. And we're always open to talking about the Bills or whatever else from whatever sport you want to bring up. You can always change the topic, 803-0550 to join us. Okay.
So I teased one game, not the Bills game, that's really important for the Bills' playoff chances. And that is not Browns-Patriots, although we can talk about that one if you want.
Mm-hmm.
Raiders-Texans. The Raiders are in Houston. And if the Bills beat the Eagles and the Texans beat the Raiders, the Bills are in the 5 spot in the AFC playoff picture, and they are 3 wins up on everybody else. Not Houston, but Houston's in the 6. 3 wins up on Oakland, who would be in the 7 spot.
Yeah.
How about that?
3 full games. Everybody's 3 games behind them in the loss column.
Yeah, the Bills full games would be 5-1. Or sorry,
six
would be
one.
6-1.
Yeah,
even if they lose this game, they are 4-1 in the conference. The Raiders are 2-1. If they lose that game, the Raiders go to 2-2.
Yeah.
So you are 2.5 games clear in the conference. You are 3 games clear in the win-loss column. It sure looks like the other wild card contenders. I mean, is Tennessee going to come back from the dead with Tannehill?
I don't think so.
Is Jacksonville going to bounce back?
I don't think so. I mean, you'd be staring at Cleveland at 2-4 as a team. I think that you'd be worried about coming back into the mix.
Maybe. The thing that the AFC South has is 4 teams that would all say they're still in it, but they'll beat up on each other. There's no way the South gets 3 playoff teams.
I don't think so.
So you get the division champ and maybe one more. That's Houston or Indy, whoever doesn't win the division. I think the other two would probably miss. You're on to Oakland. You get Oakland a 4th loss and a 2nd loss in the AFC. It's pretty good. And the New York Times playoff machine is up. If you punch in a Bills win and the Texans win, their chance to make the playoffs is at 83%. And if you punch in a Patriots win over the Browns, it gets up to about 90.
Yeah, because now you don't have to worry about Cleveland's soft schedule. Now they're 4 games behind you in the loss column.
Yep.
You still have a head-to-head with them coming up.
Now, that's
anyway.
Just getting in. There's also, could you compete for the division? In that case, you want the Browns.
Yeah, I don't know. That's what I was thinking about. Cleveland's playing New England. Who am I rooting for? I guess it depends on whether you think the Bills can make a serious run at the division. See, my initial thought was, as distasteful as it may seem, was to root for the Patriots because I want to knock the Browns as far away from Buffalo. I want to knock everybody behind them down as far away as I can to ensure at least the wild card playoff berth. So I was thinking about rooting for Cleveland. You think Patriots? Just to leave that possibility, that door open?
I think root for the Browns because can you catch the Patriots? Maybe
See, I
not.
I don't think they're catching the Patriots.
Patriots have a much tougher schedule than the Bills, though.
Yeah.
They might be a much better team. But the Chiefs and the Texans are the 2 teams they play down the stretch that the Bills don't. So if you get them a loss to the Browns, sure, the Browns are back in the mix, but you can control your destiny against the Browns. You beat the Browns.
That's the one thing you might bring up. Well, now they play New England again, too. But you might say that could be the deciding factor. I'd still want to get the Browns away because they still worry me. They make me nervous. But you do play them head-to-head. It's kind of like, Tennessee. You want to make sure Tennessee's not a factor in the wild card race. Hey, beat them head-to-head, get the tiebreaker. So at least you do control that tiebreaker when you go to Cleveland in 3 weeks, whenever it is.
What's the spread on that game, do you know? The Browns and Patriots?
I'm pulling it up right now. Lines.
It is a 13-point spread. New England is favored by 13. Wow.
Yeah, I'm not sure what to think of that. I mean, I'd be surprised if Cleveland goes in there and wins. That's in Foxborough, right? So I do not expect Cleveland to go in there and beat the New England
Patriots. There are four spreads of 13 or more this week. The NFL's becoming, it's funny, like it's looks more and more like college football to me with spreads and the difference between the good teams and the bad teams. The Dolphins are 14-point underdogs in Pittsburgh.
Are they really?
In Pittsburgh. 14.
And it's not like Pittsburgh is blowing people's doors off. That's a big spread for that game.
Browns are 13-point underdogs. The Bengals are 13-point underdogs in L.A. against the Rams.
Okay.
And the Redskins are 16-point underdogs on Thursday Night Football against Minnesota.
Okay, well, at least I guess. I mean, Washington can't score.
Four double-digit spreads.
Used to be, I thought it was rare to see. I've never tracked the betting lines. I always felt it would have been rare to see 10 points. And be, like a double-digit spread
has
was
generally
a rarity.
It's not common, except this year it is fairly common.
Yeah.
I mean, the Redskins and the Dolphins are giving those to you with pretty regular occurrence.
And the Dolphins were not covering up to like the Bills game, right? I mean, in their first four games, they would have been getting blown out to the point they would not have covered that spread. I'm surprised that's such a big gap. You know, Pittsburgh with a 2-4 record, and it looks like they'll have Mason Rudolph back. That is a big spread, especially when Miami just played up here and played tough against the Bills. So I would not touch that. That's a big spread, too big for me. So those are the only two games, by the way.
Houston, root for Houston.
Root for Houston. Oakland, if you care. I mean, their schedule, I don't think they're hanging around all season. After Houston, they got Detroit. They still have to play the Chargers twice. They still have to go to Kansas City. So I don't think Oakland will be a factor when all is said and done. But you would have to believe that the one team to worry about is Cleveland. Is the second place team in the AFC North going to be a factor in the wild card? It shouldn't be the third place team in the South. Shouldn't be the third place team in the West. I think the only thing you got to worry about is whether the Browns make a run. If Baltimore wins the North, do the Browns make a run? And there's your other team to worry about in the wild card spot. But beat Cleveland in Cleveland.
Trying to find a list of the rental receivers you could get, right? If you're talking about A.J. Green, that is a rental. If you're talking about Emmanuel Sanders, I'm not sure what his contract status is, but I'm pulling up
He's in his last year.
Okay. Pulling up a list of players to try and figure out, you know, who are we not talking about that we should be talking about?
Yeah,
at receiver.
I will try and do the
Who's
same.
Who's on a
thing.
Bad team? Who would move? I have a tweet here from Matt writes in about Kenny Golladay. What do you feel about Kenny Golladay? Would the Lions part ways with him? I don't think so. He's a pretty talented young receiver. And they've got a losing record, the Lions do, but are they going to give up on Golladay? I don't think so.
Yeah. I wouldn't think so either. I would think the name with it's A.J. Green. I mean, that is the big name to track. And what I just do not see why Cincinnati would keep A.J. Green and not try and move him at the deadline. It makes complete sense to trade him for something.
Texter asks, Howard and Jeremy, what about you want to guess the receiver that is named here? I would put it as the least likely receiver for the Bills to acquire.
Antonio Brown.
Correct. Antonio Brown.
Not happened in a million years.
Nope.
And I know I was stunned when the story broke that they were even considering. Like, hey, they're talking to Brown. They're trying to make sure. No. After what happened in Oakland, never in a million years. So your free agent receivers, according to SpotTrack, these guys, Sanders is in the final year of his contract. You ready, Jeremy? These guys are in the final year of their contract. They will be free agents in 2020.
All right, let's rent a receiver.
A.J. Green, we've covered.
Would do it.
Larry Fitzgerald is not, right? They're not doing anything with Larry Fitzgerald is going to be a free agent wide receiver, by the way.
I mean, I would be all about it. I don't think it's going to happen.
Devin Funchess.
Carolina guy?
He's in Indy now, but yes, a former Carolina guy, right?
Start making jerseys now. No, he's in Indy, yeah.
Devontae Parker, we mentioned earlier. That's a name that's out there. Randall Cobb, Danny Amendola, Travis Benjamin, Rashard Perriman. That's about it. Robbie Anderson is intriguing. Although that'd be another deep threat if the Bills actually could connect on deep balls. That's an intriguing name as you look down the list.
Texter asks about Mike Evans or either Tampa receiver. He's the only one. I don't think they give up on Godwin. Godwin's been great for them.
And I wouldn't trade Evans either. Because you know what? Either Winston's back or Tampa's going to go get a quarterback in the offseason. I would keep Evans around for wherever the heck my next quarterback is.
Max tweets in Keenan Allen. Chargers need a rebuild, need draft capital.
But that's, he's young, right? He's under contract.
He's got another year.
Yeah.
If you're, I mean, if you're going that big, I'm good with it. If you're spending a first round pick though, right? On Keenan Allen.
Oh yeah, that's a first round.
He is a stud receiver, and
none of these other guys that we've just talked about would cost you a first round pick for sure. Not a rental.
Right.
Not even. I mean, I wouldn't give up a first rounder for AJ Green unless I knew he was sticking around for a few years. If you talk, when you go to guys like Keenan Allen or if, when Diggs' name was being rumored, that now you're talking first-round pick territory. Hey, Chris Hogan's going to be a free agent.
Just 7-Eleven.
Throw that name
He's
out
open
there.
All the time.
Nelson Aguilar, Allen Hurns. So there's a handful of guys out there. Again, that is just guys that are not under contract after the season. Rich, you're on WGR. Go right ahead.
Howard, I just want to revisit the Darnold situation. I'm listening to everybody's protecting this kid. It's the media. It's the Jets. Blah, 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 blah. Anyway, this kid knew he was mic'd up.
Mm-hmm.
At what point does he own up to it? It's not like somebody snuck up behind him on the bench and stuck a microphone in his face.
Well, there's nothing to own up to if you're Darnold.
Right, right.
He didn't say anything. It's the Jets. If you're the Jets, I'm going to tell you, the Jets would have operated under the premise that whoever's job it is to filter through the Darnold comments would know. They would think, well, no, you don't put that on.
Exactly. He's told, don't worry, we have we decide what gets out and what doesn't.
Right.
He would have an expectation of protection by wearing the mic.
Okay, Jeremy, then why is he wearing the mic?
Well, he shouldn't have. In my opinion, I wouldn't have put it on Darnold if I were the Jets.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know.
But again, the Jets, none of that stuff never gets out. Mic'd up is some of the most vanilla stuff in the world. It's like interviewing coaches during games. They don't say anything. So I think the Jets felt they were caught by surprise that a comment like that is not something they would have aired.
Okay, well, I just think the kid has thrown up. He made the statement. And you know what? He really believed.
Well, it wasn't a statement to the media.
Yeah,
it was
right.
A comment on the sideline that would normally never get out.
I understand that.
So that's what they're upset about.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it, Rich.
All right.
You bet. Yeah, I wouldn't want Josh Allen mic'd up, you know? So I get why the Jets are upset, because they didn't think something like that would get out. Having said that, Darnold, own up to whatever. I mean, he's fine. I don't think that ruins his career.
Yeah, I mean, is he the last person who should be made to feel bad about it? He's a young quarterback talking about what's happening on the field.
Right. Playing against a really good defense.
Which is probably what a lot of quarterbacks would say in that spot.
What did we talk about after Josh's game against New England? Some throws that he made.
Yeah,
he didn't see safety sometimes. He, you know, the pressure was getting to him. The blitzes were getting. Yeah, it happens.
It kind of reminds me of the conversations when a player fails a drug test and is suspended for 4 games. You're only mad because you found out about it.
Right.
You know, if you don't ever find out, if the league doesn't drug test for marijuana or whatever, and they never suspend a guy, you don't care if he does that. You only care when you know. And if Sam Darnold's been saying that, maybe that's his go-to phrase for his entire life. But we just found out about it yesterday.
Right.
So it changes things.
And again, this is not something he said after the game and post-game. It was on the sidelines, which is why the Jets are angry about that. Hey, if you missed what we were talking about, Rich wanted to call about that. We were talking about that at 6:30. You know what you can do? Go use the Rewind feature at the radio.com app. If you haven't downloaded yet, download the radio.com app. And if you miss anything, you can go back 24 hours, up to 24 hours, and rewind and listen back to a segment, something we teased, and maybe you had to get on your way and you couldn't listen to it. Rewind. Radio.com app, always at your fingertips.
We'll be looking into that pretty hard. That was one of those things that was really disappointing to hear about after the game. I don't know if I've ever seen that, where somebody that was mic'd up was basically, you know, a comment like that was allowed to be aired. It bothers me. It bothers the organization. I mean, obviously, we're going to be looking hard into, you know, our cooperation going forward.
Adam Gase on whatever radio station in New York he was on, the Michael Kay Show, talking about Monday night, the Sam Darnold comment, all that fun stuff. 803-0550 to join us. Let me get to Josh here. Thanks for holding on, Josh. You're on WGR. Go right ahead.
How's it going today, guys?
Good, thank you.
I got a quick point to make on the receiver situation here in Buffalo. Everyone is so worried about going and getting one of these receivers that are on the block or going to be a free agent. Next year's draft class is loaded with receivers. You know, you could get a stud in the third and fourth round of next year's class. I think everyone needs to calm down, take a step back and look at the future, not right now.
Why not?
Well, I mean,
why can't you do both, by the way?
You could do both. You could also trade for a receiver that is part of your future and also your
yeah,
right now.
Right, right. Why do you, you know, I think the mindset in the NFL has changed, Josh. It used to be you don't make trades in season. You take your roster to camp. You hang on to your draft capital. Now teams are looking at going, well, if I can make my team better now, why not make a trade?
It's a great conversation. I don't disagree with your point, Josh, and the draft might be loaded. What you do when you make a trade like this is you pay for certainty. I mean, the Bills traded up and took Zay Jones in the second round. You know? Didn't work out. I know you say you could get a stud in the second or third round. That's right, you could. You could also just get a guy. Yeah. So if you were to trade for A.J. Green, you know, when Stephon Diggs was an idea, you're trading for the certainty. I know this guy's good. I know he's going to make it in the league and be a difference maker. So I'm open to either. I want receiving help on this team next year. The question is, do you do it now? And the question with regard to it, should the Bills do it, is there have been two trades for receivers right now. Who are the two teams that have done it?
San Francisco and New England.
And what do they have in common?
They both needed receivers.
Are both unbeaten still?
Oh, yeah, they are both unbeaten.
The two best teams in the league.
6-0,
7-0. So if you're San Francisco or in your New England, you are New England for sure. You're thinking Super Bowl, right? You're thinking, let's go win the whole
and
thing.
And they had a crying need there.
And the Bills are one game behind those teams and played the team close. The question boils down to, does Brandon Bean look at this roster and think, can one move or two moves get me closer to that? Not even saying win the Super Bowl, but can I get closer to them?
And I don't, Josh, like I think your point would be this. If you look at the receiving core, like New England, had a crying need. Like they've been chasing receiver for a while. The Bills don't have a huge hole there, but if you can make the team better with another weapon for Josh Allen, now I'm not sitting here talking about give up a first round pick. But
for Travis Benjamin or something like that, right?
Yeah, no. But if you give up a third or a fourth and you get a guy who can add to the receiving corps, why not?
Yeah, I mean, if you get Julio Jones, I mean, do it, right? It's all the market. Nice. How much would you pay? What are you getting in return?
Right, it depends. Who am I getting? Is he under contract beyond this season? I'm not giving up a first for A.J. Green. He could be here for 2 months and then leave.
But Josh is definitely right. There's a lot of talk about receiver being loaded in the draft this year.
Yeah. Yeah, but again, you can think, man, they're 5-1, right? My thinking has changed on the season. Before the season, I wouldn't have said, you know, we'd be sitting here talking about a trade in October, but now they're 5-1, and they look like a really solid bet to be in the playoffs. So if you think you can, for them, who knows? Maybe they would look at offensive line. Maybe it's pass rusher. You know, maybe they want to add another linebacker. Who knows? The point is, you have draft capital. You could use some of it to get better now and still have this guy around. Yeah, absolutely. Try and make your team better now. 803-0550. Thanks, Josh. We'll take a quick break. Phone lines are open for your calls. Sabres winning last night. 8-1-1. Reading your thoughts on the game against the San Jose Sharks. You want to chime in with some football? Of course, we're always open for that. Paul's going to join us in a moment as well on WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.